We've talked here about how the coronavirus and other emerging diseases get into human populations. We know that 3/4 of them are zoonotic. That means transmitted from animals. And in the case of the coronavirus, the consensus is it came from bats. But why is this happening in the first place? Well, the growing consensus there is that human destruction of pristine habitats is driving animals into new environments where they interact and breed dangerous new strains of viruses. This human trampling of the wild is what one scientist calls the promiscuous treatment of nature. Jonathan Watts is global environment editor at The Guardian. His recent article picked up on that phrase. Promiscuous treatment of nature will lead to more pandemics. He joins us from London. And Jonathan, you know, what a great use of a word, promiscuous, reckless. It sounds like people behaving poorly in a nightclub or something.
I think that's exactly what it's like. It's basically rushing out, doing exactly what you want, not thinking of the consequences, not thinking of the partner, in this case, nature, who is suffering and whose suffering will in turn come back on you.
Well, the scientist was Alessandra Nava of the Biobank Research Center in the Brazilian Amazon. She said that we're treating nature promiscuously, but also that diseases were naturally diluted in the wild, but accelerated when this ecological balance is disrupted by man. You give Lyme disease as an example. Explain why this happens, what she meant.
Well, she'd done some research in the Mata Atlantica. Of course, we all know the Amazon. The other great forest is the Mata Atlantica. And there they found that there is a very prominent species. It's called the capybara. And the capybara was carrying Lyme disease and taking it into human populations. And what they found was that the capybara was much, much more likely to carry Lyme disease if it was near a human settlement. By contrast, the capybara in the wild hardly had any cases of Lyme disease. And if it was in an area of the wild that still had jaguars, then there were no cases of Lyme disease because the jaguars naturally kept the species at a sort of a stable level. So diseases are in the wild, but it's the humans that are increasing the risks of those diseases spreading out, mutating, and crossing over into a form that humans become vulnerable.
You give that example. Another is scientists who found viral prevalence at 9.3% in bats near deforested sites compared to 3.8% when they were found in pristine areas. Why do they have more of a viral load the closer they are to humans?
In the wild, these viruses have always existed. There are many of them out there, but they tend to be in a few species, and those species have evolved over time to live in certain habitats. So there isn't so much crossover between species that have evolved in different ways. But when mankind comes in, clears the forest for logging or for farmland, it disturbs this balance. So they're concentrated in a smaller and smaller area of what's left. Or they have the choice to migrate into human disturbed areas like suburbs, like farmlands, like orchards. And animals are mixing that shouldn't mix or didn't mix before. And as a result, there's all of this potential for zoonotic contagion. And generally speaking, bats are really major carriers of viruses when they come into human areas. But there's no record of them transmitting a disease directly to humans. But we know that in at least 3 cases, bats have contaminated other animals, and those other intermediary animals have passed on the diseases to humans. So that was the 2002 case of SARS, another coronavirus, the 2012 case of MERS. And in each of these cases, these coronaviruses have gone from bats to an intermediary to humans. And it was predicted 2 years ago that the next big virus would emerge from bats in Asia and that there would be another one. And of course, that's exactly what's happened now.
Let's repeat that. That bears repeating because we hear a lot about, you know, who could have seen this coming? Well, 2 scientists predicted the emergence of a new coronavirus in bats 2 years ago. And tell us more just a bit about what they said, why they said it.
Well, I spoke to one of these scientists. His name is Roger Frutos. He's an infectious disease specialist. He wrote a paper specifically about the link between deforestation and the spread of viruses, particularly coronaviruses. They made the connection between Southeast Asia and East Asia, which has the worst areas of deforestation in the world, and the emergence of diseases. They said it's very likely that the next big outbreak of a coronavirus jumping to humans would come from this region, would come from bats. And of course, they are exactly right.
Well, you mentioned Roger Frutos. He's getting ready to publish a new paper saying that if we want to prevent future pandemics, we need to recognize this human role. Is it as simple as saying, stop destroying pristine areas?
It's not quite that simple, but that is a factor. What he says is humans, all of history, have been converting land, and this will probably go on. But it's this front line where the risks are. And as economic development spreads into more and more parts of the forests in Africa, in South America, in Indonesia and places like this, that the monitoring and education at the local level is the absolute key so that you can catch diseases very early on. And that means not eradicating bats or necessarily even closing all wet markets. He said that's probably impractical and it will push everything underground.
Well, because you and others note, bats are also very helpful. It's not the bats that are the problem. And when you mention wet markets, you're talking about these markets in Asia where these live animals are sold. The consensus is that it was an animal from a wet market in Wuhan, China, that carried this virus from a bat to a human. But why not? Why not shut down wet markets?
His argument, it's unrealistic to close down all wet markets at markets where animals are slaughtered there or near there, because they exist all over the world. A lot of people depend on them. The alternative is industrial farming, which also has immense health problems. And similarly, he said it's really mindless to argue that bats should be eradicated everywhere. They are very important for insect control. They're also very important for pollination. So it's very important to live with nature, not to replace nature. And it's important to note that these viruses and these animals have always been there and not been causing a problem. The problem really is human activity. And so what needs to be regulated is human activity on the front line. And he says, yes, it will be incredibly expensive to have monitoring and education in all of these remote parts of the world. But he said, look at the alternative. How much has this one virus, this one pandemic, cost us?
And just to be clear, Jonathan, what would that monitoring look like?
Essentially, the keys are to have health monitoring centres spread throughout the developing world or areas that still have a lot of nature. And what you'd have is health monitoring stations that can provide early detection. And at the same time, you need an international network so this information is passed on quickly. And then you would need monitoring of markets, the trade in food, much better regulation of forestry products, of everything to do with interaction with the wild.
One other note from Tierra Smiley Evans, who's an epidemiologist at the University of California. She finds threatened species are more likely to have viruses than animals at lower risk of habitat loss and hunting. In other words, yeah, the bat is strong, but a more stressed animal is more likely maybe to be vulnerable to viruses and therefore carry them to us. I mean, it just seems like such a cautionary reminder. Right now, vulnerable, and in many cases, the more stressed out in the human species are more vulnerable to virus too.
Yes, I think it was a remarkable study that she carried out in Myanmar. You could also boil down her findings to the animals that are most threatened tend to be the ones that have fared the worst, rather, in their interactions with humanity, where they're likely to come in contact with bats, with pigs, with cows, with gold miners, with loggers. And yes, they're stressed for all of these reasons, just as we humans are stressed. And it was put very beautifully by Tierra Smiley Evans when she said that she hoped that one of the positive things that might emerge from the terrible suffering that we are going through right now is that people will realize that there is a connection between the health of nature and human well-being.
That's Jonathan Watts, global environment editor at The Guardian. His recent article titled Promiscuous Treatment of Nature Will Cause More Pandemics. Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing some of what scientists told you with us.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me on.